This podcast of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts is brought to you by Barbados Tourism. The Weekend Stakes Preview starts in just 15 seconds after this word from our podcast sponsor.
If you've been waiting to discover that spot where peace of mind meets the time of your life, then it sounds like you've been waiting on Barbados. From the majesty of horse racing and polo to the thrill of surfing our playful waves, visit jetblue.com/Barbados for special vacation packages.
Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
Round the far turn, Take Charge Angel, Kofefi looms. Free cover comes up, three wide on the outside. These three right across the track at the quarter pole where Kofefi takes over. Kofefi now in front. Take Charge Angel back into second. Free cover fully extended in third. Bells to One is fourth. Istan Council's fifth. Nothing from Champagne Anyone. Kofefi sails by the eighth pole. Clear by six, now by seven, now by eight. Kofefi primed and ready for the Breeders' Cup. Gallops home to win it by six lengths in the end. Bells the One was second. Free cover was third. Istan Council fourth.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with Dave Friedman. We've got a dozen big races from around North America to talk about tonight. Great races from Aqueduct, Churchill Downs, Woodbine, and the marquee events at both Parks and Remington Park, Dave.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to going through this group of races. We thought we were going to have 13. We're down to 12. I think there's some prices to be had among this dozen races.
Well, we're going to find out shortly if we're in the same thinking the same way or not as we get started with these dozen races on the Weekend Stakes Preview tonight. Folks, Belmont Fall Racing at Aqueduct is underway, and the races have been incredible. It's Belmont at the Big A, and Naira Betts is getting you ready for it all. If you're not a Naira Betts customer yet, join Naira Betts today. Bet hundreds of tracks while enjoying a $200 deposit match. Just use the promo code HRRN200. Be sure to get in on all the action. If you're already a Naira Betts member, be sure to bet this weekend with the Naira Betts promos galore. Play Golden Gate Fields today and get 10 times points. No need to opt in. Just bet and get 10 rewards points for every dollar you bet with your Naira Betts account on the online selected races. If you want to enjoy even more promotions, bet tomorrow with the Fall Racing Bankroll Builder. It's available tomorrow for the Cotillion at Parks. You'll have the opportunity to earn a $20 bonus on the race, win or lose, if you bet $50 to win on any horse in the Cotillion. Be sure to opt in for that one to qualify. And, of course, you can watch all the action on America's Day at the races this weekend. They're on tomorrow, FS2, from 4:40 to 11:30 at night. Then Sunday they start on FS1 from 12:30 to 2, move to FS2 from 4:40 to 6 p.m. All right, Dave, we've got a dozen races to look at, and we're going to start right at Aqueduct, and they've got two races on their Saturday card, first of which is the third race of the day. It's the Grade 3 Athenia for fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth on the turf. Six of them entered, although one of them is a main track, only number six, W.W. Fitzy. So five, as far as we're concerned, for the turf. And it looks like Chad Brown has a big chance in here. He's got two of the five, including both favorites, California Queen and Love and Thunder.
Yeah, and California Queen is a reasonable, logical favorite for Chad and Matticat and Mike Dubb. This is a horse who has not run since October, so a very, very long layoff. Any of the last three races that California Queen has run in, the E.P. Taylor at Woodbine, the Boston Spa at Saratoga, the Matchmaker at Monmouth, none of which California Queen won, each of the races that she ran is good enough to beat this field. But you're still looking at a horse who has just one win in North America, has run six times in outside of Europe, and the only win is an optional claimer, non-winner of two. at Belmont back in June of 21, and it's hard to imagine that California Queen is going to be fully cranked. The 6-5 morning line, I think, is probably about right. As I handicapped this race, I asked myself, can I find a price that I'm willing to live with? Number one, in a hurry, I was thinking, can I get 4-5-1? Well, the win last time out at Pimlico is pretty good, but that's Pimlico and it's not Aqueduct. The previous group of races are kind of fine against better, but not outstanding efforts. You really have to go back to late last year to find races that compete with California Queen at +250 at 5-2 on the morning line. In a hurry probably doesn't interest me all that much, but I think In a Hurry is reasonable and logical. I wound up with number 3, Love and Thunder, Chad's other horse in here, because I think the 5-2 morning line is a reasonable one. This is a very, very consistent horse stretching out. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but you see a horse that's looked good at a mile and run well at a mile and a 16th. So why shouldn't a mile and an eighth be workable? I don't know. A horse that always gets bet certainly doesn't have the resume of California Queen, but I think Love and Thunder might just be in better form right now. And I think running late at a mile and an eighth could work out just fine.
So I picked Love and Thunder as well. I don't think the morning line is going to be correct in this spot. I don't think California Queen will be that much lower than Love and Thunder, for simply for what you said. Love and Thunder is always bet. Not only that, Love and Thunder, in my mind, has the best rider that's still riding at Aqueduct tomorrow. The big names, Irad Ortiz, Flavian Pratt, Joel Rosario, are not riding there. They're riding the big card at Parks on Saturday. Jose Ortiz has stayed in New York, and he rides a lot of live horses, and I think that he aboard Love and Thunder is good enough for me to take a shot with her. I think she's going to be lower than 5-2, but I think she's as good as her stablemate, California Queen. Both Dave and I are going to try Love and Thunder in the Grade 3 Athenia. Let's jump all the way ahead to the 10th race on the card. They do this sometimes when there's a short field in one of the stakes. They put it early on in the card that goes, they know it's not going to get the handle that it should if it was a bigger field, so they don't put it in the back half of the card. The 10th race, though, the Ashley T. Cole, for three-year-olds and up, that are our New York breds going a mile and an eighth on the turf, drew a field of 7. There are actually 9 entered, but 2 of them are main track only, so 7 of them entered on the turf. And the 7-5 morning line favorite in this spot is the Christophe Clement trainee, City Man.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to separate this group. This is a hard-knocking group of veteran horses who have kind of been there and done that before. City Man has the best races, but you don't find them consistently, as in last time out at Saratoga, City Man ran kind of fair okay, and 2 back ran a really good race at Saratoga. Maybe the difference was the jockeys. Joel Rosario is one of the best, and Trevor McCarthy did not have a good meet on the turf at Saratoga. So McCarthy is back up here. The horse is 7-5, and there's more than one race in City Man's past that says City Man is just flat out better than this group. But I don't trust City Man. I just don't see it race in and race out. Cross Border is 8 years old and is leaving the barn of Mike Maker. And even the more recent races, which you're not seeing Cross Border hit the board, Cross Border has not been in the top 3 in 5 consecutive races, they're against better horses. You can imagine going back a year that Cross Border would be favored against this group. I think maybe the barn change helps. Cross Border is 8 years old, though, and again, I'm not jumping up and down to bet on this horse. Sanctuary City, kind of the same story. Horse that just doesn't win that often. Beat Lesser last time at Saratoga, and after that race, you have to go back a long time to win for Sanctuary, who does very much like Aqueduct, and I do think fits with this group. I ended up picking Jerry the Nipper, number 2, for Todd Pletcher and Mike Rapoli. First turf effort, I thought, was just a huge one against much, much lesser. And the work last time on September the 16th on the turf was very, very sharp. I think Jerry the Nipper might be the lone speed. I'll tell you the truth, though. I was disappointed the morning line was 3-1. I thought you might get 4-5, even 6-1 on Jerry the Nipper.
Well, this is another spot where you and I agree. We both like Jerry the Nipper, and another spot where I don't think the morning line is right. And this is rare because more often than not, I think the morning line is very good at the Naira racetracks. I don't see how anyone is 7-5 on the morning line. To me, City Man is really not much different than the horses you mentioned, Jerry the Nipper, Cross Border, or Sanctuary City. To give you a perfect example, I can see that City Man and Sanctuary City have raced against each other four times in the last 13 months. Two times City Man finished ahead of Sanctuary City, two times Sanctuary City finished ahead of City Man. So why is City Man 7-5 and Sanctuary City 7-2? I don't get it. I think it's a much more evenly matched field. I would use all four if I'm playing horizontally. But what I do think is what you said, that Jerry the Nipper should be in front of Cross Border, City Man, and Sanctuary City. They're going to have to pass him. And that one try that he had on the turf, to me, looks like he's a way better horse on the turf than he is on the dirt. And he really isn't a bad horse on the dirt either. So I'm going to try Jerry the Nipper as well, just like you, Dave, in the Ashley T. Cole Race 10 on tomorrow's card at Aqueduct. Let's jump on down to Churchill Downs. They've got several stakes on their Saturday card. One of them is graded. It's the ninth race on the day, the Grade 3 Dogwood for the three-year-old fillies sprinting 7 furlongs. Top of the show, we heard the 2019 stretch call of the Dogwood where Covfefe ran away and hid from the field. She would go on, as Travis Stone kind of alluded to at the end of the race call, she would go on to run in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint and win that as well at Santa Anita, holding off Bellafina in that event. Are there any Covfefes in here? Well, it's a little too early to say. What we do know is there are a field of 7 in here, and Steve Asmussen is going to have a major say in the outcome of this race. He's got number 1, Echo Zulu. We last saw her being scratched at the starting gate a few months ago up in New York. He's also got the winner of the Grade 2 Prioress and number 7, Wicked Halo. Dave, I read where Asmussen was saying that he likely will not run both of them in this race. One of them will run here. One of them will probably go in the Raven Run at Keeneland. But he didn't kind of tilt one way or the other, saying which one will go where.
Yeah, and it'll be an interesting decision because whoever does not scratch is going to be the favorite. And if it's Echo Zulu who does not scratch and is in the race, Echo Zulu is going to be a big favorite because Echo Zulu has 5 of the top 6 figs that any horse has run in this race. Echo Zulu ran well every time out up until the Kentucky Oaks, and quite frankly, didn't run that back in the bad in the Kentucky Oaks either. Finished 4th against Secret Oath and Nest, both who have gone on to have pretty darn good summers. And now Echo Zulu is off a long, long layoff. You mentioned got scratched right before the Acorn at Belmont and maybe was unsound. That was a long time ago. That was June 11th. I think they've probably figured out what was going on, if something was going on between then and now. And while I can make an argument for Tarabi number 4, we both know I love Cherie DeVoe, ran on opening day at Saratoga and won in one of those Wilson Chute races. I just don't think Tarabi is as fast as Echo Zulu if Echo Zulu is right. Tarabi is a horse who has improved in each of her 5 career races. And if she improves in a 6th consecutive race, maybe she's as good as Echo Zulu. But I've seen Echo Zulu run against the best of the best, run pretty well, beat everyone else. And I think Echo Zulu stands out in this group. Now, I'm not thrilled with even money. When I handicapped the race, I said I would need 8-5 to bet on Echo Zulu. I'm probably watching, but I think it'll be Echo Zulu in the winner's circle.
Okay, so I disagree a little bit with you because there's one thing that bothers me with Echo Zulu, and we're assuming that she may be the one that runs in this race. I'm not sure she's better as a 3-year-old than she was as a 2-year-old.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's, It's very rare you see this, but newspaper of record is a Chad Brown trainee that comes to mind as somebody, as a filly who, in my mind, did not improve from age two to age three. Arazi, famously, a long, long time ago, was not better as a three-year-old as than he was as a two-year-old. It's not something, you know, most horses mature and get better from two to three. I'm not sure Echo Zulu has. I'm pretty sure Tarabi has. Tarabi has not been able to handle Echo Zulu the two times that they faced off, but that was last year when they were two-year-olds. I liked what I saw from her in that Wilton Stakes on opening day at Saratoga this year. I think she may be better than she was last year. She's not going to have to be a whole lot better if Echo Zulu hasn't improved. So I'm going to take one more chance with number four, Tarabi, and the price is going to be right. She's 4-1 on the morning line. Tarabi for the mild upset in the Grade 3 Dogwood, race 9 tomorrow at Churchill. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into that monster card at Parks. They've got 5 graded stakes on, I believe, in a 10-stake race card tomorrow at Parks. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Nyra Betts. Sign up for Nyra Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Nyra Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Nyra Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NyraBetts.com.
Churchill Downs 14-day September meet runs now through October 2nd with 11 stakes worth over $3.3 million in purses and maiden special weight purses at $120,000 and allowance races ranging from $127,000 to $141,000. These purses powered by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, you are not going to want to miss the September meet at Churchill Downs. The meet will also showcase many horses preparing for the Breeders' Cup and the Grade 3 ACK-ACK, a win and you're in for the Dirt Mile Division, and the Grade 2 $400,000 Lucas Classic. For more information, visit ChurchillDowns.com.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch here, inviting you to join me tomorrow from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern for the Equine Forum presented by Twins Buyers. I'll talk in depth about the Grade 1 Cotillion and Pennsylvania Derby at Parks and look ahead to Sunday's Oklahoma Derby as I visit with trainer Safi Joseph Jr., owner Mike Mackin of Lucky Seven Stables, Tom Law from This Is Horse Racing, and I'll take a look at the Twins Buyers Triple Play with Vance Hansen, plus Kurt Becker's stroll through racing history, and I Ask, They Answer with Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin. It all comes your way tomorrow, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, on the Equine Forum, presented by Twins Buyers, right here on Sirius 216, XM 204, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Nyra Betts.
Jackie's Warrior is in hand. It's got a three-length cushion. Pick and Time is making up late ground with Baron as they dive down to the inside. But they are trying to catch the champ. It's Jackie's Warrior at the top of the stretch. Jackie's Warrior hasn't even been asked yet. It's approaching the eighth pole. Pick and Time, real tough. Jackie's Warrior has a five-length cushion. Pick and Time has taken second, but an absolute superstar. Gear down, wins the Gallant Bob with ease. It's Jackie's Warrior. Pick and Time gets second, then Real Talk, 1:08.3.
Chris Griffin on the call. Last year's Grade 2 Gallant Bob won very impressively by the superstar Jackie's Warrior. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts, Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman. Before we get back to the races, time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. And Chicago racing fans will like this. 2023 Illinois schedule returns thoroughbreds to summer dates. Thoroughbreds get the prime 2023 racing dates at Hawthorne Racecourse under a schedule approved September 22nd by the Illinois Racing Board, while Harness Races will run the final 3 months of the year at the suburban Chicago track. With the closing of Arlington International Racecourse after the 2021 season, Hawthorne is the only remaining track in the Chicago area. 2022 schedule had the breeds switching back and forth throughout the year and no thoroughbred racing during the summer months. New arrangement approved by the Horseman's Organization for both breeds, has live thoroughbred racing starting March 4th, running through September 4th. March 4th through to June 3rd, racing will be conducted on Saturdays and Sundays. Wednesday racing will be added for the balance of the season. The IRB also approves 62 programs at Downstate FanDuel Sportsbook and Horse Racing, formerly known as Fairmount Park. Track will run Tuesdays and Saturdays from April 18th through November 18th. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. There's one website that's the industry's go-to site for racing, breeding, sales, and news. It's bloodhorse.com. Breaking news to race to results, race replay videos, leading earner lists, sire lists, stallion register, and so much more. You'll find it all at bloodhorse.com. It's the largest equine news site focused on owners and breeders with more than 5 million unique visitors a year. Bloodhorse.com. And don't forget to check out Bloodhorse Plus, offering exclusive content, including behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, weekly programs showcasing the industry's upcoming races, and recapping the recent stakes, and much more. It's Bloodhorse Plus. Well, that's good news, Dave. And boy, it does not seem like that long ago where if you were a racing fan in the Chicagoland area, there was Arlington, Sportsman's, Hawthorne, Maywood, and even Balmoral about an hour south. And now there's only one of them. Hawthorne's the only one left.
That they're getting those summer dates back. That is an area of the country that is just so wonderful over the summer, and to have racing and to have an event that people can go to is good for the sport. It's good for the region. It's good for the fans. So we're very much applauding that. Of course, you bring up some names of parks that we all enjoyed our time at and we wish were still around, but take a positive out of the story. At least Hawthorne is getting summer racing.
Yep, and if you're a racing fan there or just feel like going to Chicago for a weekend, you're going to get thoroughbred racing next summer at Hawthorne. All right, let's dive back in, starting with this monster card at Parks. It is their marquee day of the season, and such a big day that despite the fact that they race Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays year-round, they've decided to actually run on a Saturday this weekend, not only because they've got the marquee event around the country, but give racing fans in the Philadelphia area a chance to come out on a Saturday and enjoy this great racing. Five graded stakes on a 10-stakes card tomorrow at Parks. Races 8 through 12 make up the stakes. Believe it or not, I can't believe it's not an all-graded stake pick 5, but it isn't. Other than that, though, I have no complaints. And the 8th race on the card is the Grade 3 Greenwood Cup for 3-year-olds and up, going the mile-and-a-half distance on the main track. We've got a field of 9, and believe it or not, Dave, Lone Rock is not in the field. It seems odd that you'd have one of these extended dirt races and the name Lone Rock would not be in the race. But the horse who's been beating Lone Rock of late, Fearless, is in the race, and he's 6-5 on the morning line.
Yeah, I mean, Fearless is the most likely winner. At 6-5 with a bad post, I'm not going to pick Fearless, but I am not going to argue with anybody who thinks Pletcher and Rapoli going 3 turns, horse that is sharp, having won back-to-back races, has won at this distance, it is the most likely winner, because Fearless is the most likely winner. I was hoping to get 9-5, 2-1. That's not the case, and because that's not the case, I'm looking elsewhere. Number 3, Magic Michael, really, really likes this surface. 9 for 10 at Parks, including 1 for 1 at the distance. And I think the 4-1 morning line is reasonable. Number 5, Riding with Biden, has beaten Western River number 2 and Magic Michael number 3 recently. It has thrown up a couple of really, really big figs at Laurel and at Delaware. The record at Parks is fine. 2 wins and 3 seconds from 8 races. But where I went, and it's a value play, is with number 7, the Reds. And I wonder if because Irad Ortiz is up, if you're not going to get 5-1, it's a step up. It's a stretch out, but the Reds is really sharp right now. Running against optional claimers, Saratoga finished second in July, beat a similar crew in August. I thought both races were impressive and fast. And I don't think the Reds has to be dramatically better, just a little bit better on Saturday to win. Now, it is a horse stepping up, but I thought the races at Belmont and Pimlico in 21 were pretty good against graded stakes competition. And I kind of like the Reds, though. I fear that you're not going to get 5-1 because of the jockey.
Well, I'm rooting for you because it's not a race that I'm looking at playing. I couldn't get creative in here. I went to the 8 Fearless for two simple reasons. One, I think he's the best at this distance, and I think he's just the best overall. I'm not worried about the post. I think that he's a versatile type who can be up close or come from off of it. The one thing we don't know is how he will handle the surface at Parks, but it doesn't seem to be a quirky surface like maybe some other racetracks are. I do know this. His good races are better than everyone else's good races. So if you think he's going to run a good race, it's going to be hard to beat. He's 6-5 on the morning line. I think he's going to be 4-5 at post time. I'm not interested in betting 4-5, but I think Fearless will take the Greenwood Cup. By the way, one of the horses you mentioned, Magic Michael, actually won this race last year, so we obviously know that he can handle this mile-and-a-half distance. Ninth race on the card is the Grade 3 $300,000 Turf Monster for three-year-olds and up, sprinting 5 furlongs on the turf, the bane of my existence as a handicapper, as it were. We've got a full field of 12. In fact, we've got 15 entered, one also, two main track only, so 12 of them going to go to the post in this spot, Dave. And number one, That's Right, is the morning line favorite at 3-1. He's really, really fast. It's just a question of how far he goes.
Yeah, I think this is what you call a rider's race. Half of the field is trying turf for the first time. There are a bunch of horses that aren't accustomed to going this distance, and there is just a ton of speed in here, including that tepid favorite, That's Right, that you mentioned. That's Right makes sense. The four turf races in a row have resulted in three victories. Last time out, didn't make it in a stakes race at Saratoga. Those three wins were at Monmouth and one at Pimlico. I am fine if that's where you ended up with That's Right. At 3-1, I'm not particularly interested, but certainly viable and reasonable. Number two, Surprise Boss, has Irad Ortiz up, and I think has been facing better horses. Last time out, ran in the same race that That's Right was in and finished just ahead of That's Right. Now, That's Right was 6-1 and Surprise Boss was 27-1. But you go back a few races and you see ones that fit for Surprise Boss. But Surprise Boss is another horse that wants to be on the lead. I really had difficulty finding a horse that I thought could rate and could come from the back. And the one I ended up with is number four, Nothing Better. And I say that because there are wins in the form where Nothing Better was just off the pace. I mean, Nothing Better is a speed horse too. I'm going to toss the last one going two turns at Monmouth, go back to the sprint races, and I think Nothing Better looks pretty good, and I think Nothing Better and Luis Saez sit just off, and they get a good trip, they make the run, and they charge by what could be an absolute cavalry charge out of the gate.
Okay, so you went with number four, Nothing Better. I'm going to take a stab with the five, Uncle Ernie, for John Service and Joel Rosario. Joel, by far the best rider that Uncle Ernie has seen thus far. He is tried 7 starts all on the main track at Parks, and he's never been off the board. I would guess that breeding-wise, he should be just as good, if not better, on the turf than he is on dirt, being by talent search out of a broken Val Mare. He's never run on the turf. He's never worked on the turf, but he lures Joel Rosario, and his speed figures on the dirt would make him a contender. If he's as good or better on the turf, He's going to win, and he's a nice price. 8-1 on Uncle Ernie. I'm going to try him in the Grade 3 Turf Monster. Moving ahead to the 10th race, it's the Grade 2 $300,000 Gallant Bob for the three-year-olds, sprinting 6 furlongs on the main track. We've got a big field of 14 in this spot, Dave. Not really sure if any of these look like the next Jackie's Warrior, but there are some pretty nice runners, and it looks like an evenly matched race. I'm not even sure who's going to be favored in here.
Yeah, there are a whole bunch of them kind of in that 4-1 range, and really any of them could be the favorite, and that certainly makes for a fun betting race. I wonder if number 3, Provocateur, goes off as the favorite just because it's my racehorse, and we know they have all those micro share owners, and they tend to like to bet. It's Todd Pletcher, it's Irad Ortiz. Provocateur is going to attract a lot of handle, and I think this is the right distance for Provocateur, who kind of fooled around with a couple of 7-furlong races, didn't run nearly as well in those. Is Provocateur going to be on the lead here? There seems to be ample speed. Didn't beat a ton last time, but certainly was the best. I think Provocateur makes some sense. I think running Son of a Gun makes some sense. I think this is a big drop, and I think running Son of a Gun has been quite competitive against better horses. Now, the last several times running against the likes of Jack Christopher and Charge It, you see big numbers, 40-1 and 20-1 and things like that. But running Son of a Gun is 1-for-1 at Parks and 2-for-3 at the distance. Nakatomi, Wesley Ward, Joel Rosario. This is a horse whose last two are both strong. The one back in October at Keeneland, and then off the long layoff at Churchill Downs in June. Didn't beat a whole lot last time. May not have run a race yet quick enough to beat this group, but an improving three-year-old, and I think very much fits. And if you're looking for a price on the outside, a lot of hope, I think, is cutting back. And I don't know if he's beaten anyone the last two, but certainly kind of fits with the figs. I picked running Son of a Gun. I just like the idea that it's a drop, and I think you're going to get a reasonable price.
All right, so number 6-1 on number 9, running Son of a Gun. I went to number 3, Provocateur. He just looks like he's going really good right now. Irad has ridden him in the past, and I agree with what you're saying. I think that this distance is perfect for him. A repeat of his last race in the Jersey Shore, I think, makes him strictly the one to beat. Don't think we're going to get 4-1. I think he's going to be 5-2 at post time. Going to take a break. When we come back, we've got more great racing from Parks to look at, the Grade 1 Cotillion, and the biggest race of the meet, the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Maryland has thoroughbred racing covered this fall. The legendary Pimlico Racecourse offers September racing that includes the Fall Festival of Racing, covering 2 Saturdays with 8 stakes worth $875,000 in purses. Live racing returns to Laurel Park on September 29th, and the first Saturday of the Laurel Fall Meet starts the season with 5 stakes worth $575,000 in purses. October keeps bringing it with Maryland Million Day, featuring 12 stakes and over $1 million in purses. Details at MarylandRacing.com. Racing Friday through Sunday, post time 12:40 p.m.
Racing fans, don't miss Breeders' Cup Challenge Weekend at spectacular Santa Anita next Saturday and Sunday, October 1st and 2nd. Next Saturday, we'll have 6 stakes, including the Grade 1 Awesome Again, for horses prepping for the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland. And Santa Anita Park is honored to have legendary Hall of Fame trainer Ron McAnally presenting the trophy on Saturday for the Grade 2 $200,000 John Henry Turf Championship. Join us on track, and you can play in the $4,000 opening weekend Weekend Challenge, and you can take a shot at a $5,000 on-track bonus. And you can play from anywhere free in our $5,000 online Showviver. Bring the family, our infield family fun zone is back with inflatable jumpers, pony rides, face painting, and more. Opening day for Santa Anita's Autumn Meet is this Friday with free admission and general parking, as well as $3 beers and $5 margaritas. World-class racing is back next weekend at Santa Anita.
Hey, this is Bobby Newman. Join me every Friday afternoon to dive deep into handicapping the races. We'll cover the live action from some of the biggest tracks in the country, talk to some of the major players in the game, and hopefully make a little money along the way. You can also call the show to share your opinions, ask a question or two, or maybe just vent about some bad beats. It's Betting with Bobby, presented by Caesars Racebook, every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 216, XM 204, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Victor Espinosa says go with California Chrome. He's trying to get out from in behind the leaders. They come to the top of the stretch. Tapiture into contention as he unwinds with a run on the outside. Byron still holding on to the lead as they hit the top of the stretch. Still nowhere to go right now for California Chrome. On the outside, Tapiture trying to get involved, but it's Byron coming to the eighth hole. Byron has opened up three. California Chrome on the inside is giving his best, but he's dropping back. On the outside, Tapiture is taking second. It's Byron pulling away. They're coming down to the finish, and it will be Byron impressive on the front end today. Byron's got it by five.
That was Keith Jones on the call of the what was the Grade 2 Pennsylvania Derby back in 2014. Byron defeating California Chrome and others that afternoon. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman sticking around with some more great stakes action tomorrow at Parks. And race number 11 is the Grade 1 Million Dollar Cotillion for the three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the main track. We've got a field of nine, Dave, including this year's Kentucky Oaks winner, Secret Oath.
Yeah, what do you think the odds on Secret Oath are going to be?
I think she's going to be about 8-5.
Okay, well, she's 2-1 on the morning line, and if she's 8-5, that's a pretty clear play to me. Secret Oath has really run, even if you're not an enormous Secret Oath fan, Secret Oath has run so much better than anybody else in this race. You look at four losses since late November of last year, two against Boys and two against Nest. What female horse in the country is competitive with Nest right now? What female horse is beating Cyberknife right now? Secret Oath has run against really, really good horses, and Secret Oath has run really well. What you said in a previous segment about is she as good as a three-year-old as she is a two-year-old. She was running pretty good at the end of her two-year-old year. Maybe she peaked in the Oaks. Maybe she's never going to run quite that race again. But I didn't think the Preakness was bad, and I don't think losing the Nest twice is bad. And I think Secret Oath has found a field here that she's just better than. Now, I'm interested in Adair Manor, number two, because I wonder if the secret sauce was Bob Baffert. This is a horse that looked terrific in California at the beginning of the year, and then Baffert got banned, and Adair Manor ran just fine in the Santa Anita Oaks, losing to Desert Dawn by less than half a length, came back and ran in the Black Eyed Susan. I did not think she ran very well that day, but the first was with the Actine, and then Sean McCarthy, now Baffert's back, and I wonder if Adair Manor might run a really good race here. Number seven, Shahama for Todd Pletcher. This is a horse that I respect and I like. I just don't think these are of Secret Oath's class.
Well, I think Adair Manor is pretty close to Secret Oath, but I agree that Secret Oath is the one to beat. I'm going to put her on top, mainly because it looks to me like there's plenty of pace in here. Green Up isn't going to be a far away. Adair Manor likes to be forwardly placed. Beach Days, it was way up close with a sprint last time out. Gerrymander doesn't want to be too far out of it. Even in Society, looks like she's got to go from the outside. So Secret O should have plenty of pace to run at, and I think she's going to run him down. I think Adair Manor is the logical one if you're going to use more than Secret Oath. But Dave and I both agree that Secret Oath will get the job done in the Grade 1 Cotillion. I hope you're as strong on your opinion in the next race as you were with Secret Oath, because I certainly am not. It's the Grade $1 Million Pennsylvania Derby, three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth in the 12th race at Parks tomorrow afternoon. We've got a field of 11 going to post. Morning line favorite is number 8, Taba, coming off that narrow defeat to Cyberknife in the Haskell back in July, but it's not just those two. Zandon's in the race, Skippy Longstocking, We the People, Tawny Port, Simplification, White Abario, kind of a who's who of three-year-olds descending on the Pennsylvania Derby.
Well, I've been very high on Taba. I picked Taba to win the Kentucky Derby. It didn't go so well for me. I picked Taba to win the Haskell. It didn't go so well. And in fact, I thought Taba was in perfect position to win the Haskell, and Cyberknife just ran by. Cyberknife was better. I think Cyberknife should be a favorite over Taba in this race. I'm not going to pick either of them, but I don't know how you can watch the Haskell and suggest that Taba should be the favorite over Cyberknife. And then Cyberknife finishing second, a well-beaten second to Epicenter last time out in the Travers, that doesn't bother me at all. If you liked Cyberknife in the Haskell, if you liked Cyberknife in the Travers, I don't know why you shouldn't like Cyberknife here. And Taba, at this point, I need to see prove it. The figs continue to be very high. All three races other than the Kentucky Derby are fast, strong races, but I would like to see it at this point. All that said, I feel as though there might not be a horse I've had a better handle on this year than Zandon. I picked Zandon to win the Bluegrass, and Zandon won. I got off of Zandon in the Kentucky Derby, and I really thought he ran a pretty good race, though it felt to me as though they could have run another lap, and he still wasn't going to go by Epicenter. In the Jim Dandy, I don't remember who I picked in the Jim Dandy. No, I picked Epicenter in the Jim Dandy. And Zandon was kind of second best, and second best by quite a bit, but clearly second best. And then last time out, basically, if you go back and watch the race, Zandon and Cyberknife ran to a draw behind Epicenter. Now Cyberknife is 3-1 and Taba's 5-2 and Zandon is 5-1. I trust Chad Brown. I think Zandon is classy, and I think this is a great spot for Zandon. I love the price. One of the best value picks of the day, I think. I think Zandon's got a great chance to win.
And reunited with Joel Rosario, who was aboard for his maiden win. All right, Zandon for you, Taba for me. I don't think a lot of people remember this, but for about 3/4 of a mile in the Haskell, it looked like Taba wasn't doing anything. And then Mike Smith took him out from the inside and put him to the outside, and it's like there was renewed energy, and all of a sudden he was into the bit, and he made this big move. And I think what I'm not 100% sure, but it kind of looks like Taba is not very comfortable being in and behind horses. So the good news and bad news of it is this. I think everyone knows this now, and I think Mike Smith knows this, and he's going to keep this horse outside. The bad news is that means he's going to lose a little bit of ground, and if you're somebody who uses, like, rags and sheets or something like that, he's always going to get a better number than some of the others because he's going to be losing ground. But I think that's the way that Taba is going to be ridden and needs to be ridden, and I think if he stays out in the clear and he's focused for the entire race and not just the final 3 furlongs of the race, he's going to be tough to beat. I like the fact that he's only run 4 times. I think he has a lot more room for improvement than some of the others. I'm going to try Taba to see if he can get back to his winning ways in the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby. All right, let's move north of the border to Woodbine to start our Sunday action. We're going to look at 4 Sunday stakes, one right now before our final break, and it's the Grade 3 Vigil for 3-year-olds and upgoing 6 furlongs on the main track up at Woodbine. It's race number 8 on the Sunday card, approximate post time 4:50 Eastern time. 9 of them going to post in the Vigil, Dave, and the morning line favorite is number 5, Candy Overload, for Mark Cassie and Patrick Husbands.
Yeah, this is first time with Mark Cassie for Candy Overload, who last time out ran against a bunch of horses in this race. Candy Overload on August the 13th ran against number 6, Lucky Score, and number 7, Avi's Flatter, and number 8, Secret Reserve. And it was kind of a difficult race to sort out. Secret Reserve won at over 10-1 and got far and away the best trip. And Candy Overload went way, way wide. And Avi's Flatter went way, way wide. And I watched this a couple of times. I'm just not sure how to sort the whole thing out. And then I looked at this race more carefully, and I'm like, there's no speed in here. So I started looking at number two, Clayton, very carefully, who I think has speed, but I think it's tactical speed. I think Clayton is going to be close. I don't know if Clayton is going to be in front. And then I shifted my view to Rockcrest, number nine, who I completely understand has not beaten or run against anything remotely close to this good. I just think Rockcrest is going to clear. And I don't know if Rockcrest is good enough to go wire to wire, but at 12 to 1, maybe I'm getting a little bit cute, and maybe 6 furlongs isn't as good as 5 furlongs, but I'm going to play Rockcrest to go wire to wire.
All right, so number nine, Rockcrest for Dave. I went to the 7, Avi's Flatter. I just think that he was unprepared at the start last time out. He's never coming from 10 lengths out of it in any of his races. In fact, his good races, he's kind of just right in behind the pace within, you know, a length and a half, two and a half lengths of the lead, and comes running. He was able to close from 10 lengths back while going 7 wide last time out and got beat a half a length when it was completely against him in the Bold Venture. I think with a better start, he's a lot closer and has a lot less that he has to do under regular rider Luis Contreras. Avi's Flatter for me to take the Grade 3 Vigil Race 8 on Woodbine's Sunday card. Going to take our final timeout. When we come back, we're going to look at a Sunday stake at Aqueduct and two big stakes at Remington Park. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premium perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Shh. Can you hear it? The world-class thoroughbreds are racing at Remington Park. There's live racing now through December 17th. So don't miss all the action on the track and in the casino. With big wins and great entertainment. Send your heart racing at Remington Park.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Susan's Girl. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 216 or XM 204, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
And the field turns for home. Indian Blessing holding on grimly to the lead. Sarah Louise is right at her throat latch, really testing the champion filly. Indian Blessing still holding on narrowly and still fighting on as Sarah Louise. Nip and tuck, Indian Blessing, Sarah Louise. Indian Blessing, Sarah Louise. Here's the wire. Photo finish. It may have been Indian Blessing. It was desperately close in a thriller with Sarah Louise. Farther back, Thunder's Dove and Skyhaven.
Tom Durkin on the call of the 2009 Grade 2 Gallant Bloom was the second straight Gallant Bloom victory for Indian Blessing, winning in 2008 as well. She would retire with 10 wins, 5 second place finishes from 16 career starts, and earnings of just under $3 million in her career. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts, Bobby Newman, Dave Friedman. Folks, Belmont Fall Racing at Aqueduct is underway. The races have been incredible. It's Belmont at the Big A. Naira Betts is getting you ready for it all. If you're not a Naira Betts customer yet, join Naira Betts today. Bet hundreds of tracks while enjoying a $200 deposit match. Just use the promo code HRRN200. Be sure to get in on all the action. If you're already a Naira Bets member, be sure to bet this weekend with Naira Bets promos galore. Play Golden Gate Fields today and get 10 times points. No need to opt in. Just bet and get your 10 rewards points for every dollar you bet with your Naira Bets account on the online selected races. If you want to enjoy even more promos, bet tomorrow with the Fall Racing Bankroll Builder. It's available tomorrow for the Cotillion at Parks. You'll have the opportunity to earn a $20 bonus on the race, win or lose, if you bet $50 to bet to win on any horse. Be sure to opt in to qualify for those promotions. All right, Dave, we've got three more Sunday stakes to look at, including one at Aqueduct. It's the Grade 2 Gallant Bloom, Race 9 on the Sunday card. These are fillies and mares going 6.5 furlongs on the main track. Field of 5 going to post, and probably going to have a heavy favorite in the Wesley Ward trainee, Kamari, who came from well out of it last time to win the Honorable Miss in, as far as what I can see, the best speed figure of her life.
Yeah, and if she repeats that, she wins. I don't think there's any question about that. And off that layoff, you get a terrific performance. This will now be second off the layoff. You keep Joel Rosario. And if you want a single Kamari, if you think Kamari is a stone-cold lock, if you're willing to take 3-5 or whatever she's going to be, I've got no beef with that. This is a horse that probably goes over $1 million in earnings on this weekend. That being said, if you take away the last race, or you just kind of scale back a little bit, if there's a bounce of some sort, there's several other horses that fit in here. Lady Rocket, number one. The 2021 form is terrific. The 2022 form, really only one out of four races is good enough here. That being said, it is possible Lady Rocket is going to be loose on the lead if she can shake number four, Chitara. And it is also possible that Lady Rocket, second off the layoff and cutting back, is really getting right back into her wheelhouse. Number two, Remain Anonymous, is interesting. Last two races are really, really good. This is a step up, but I don't think she's out of the realm of possibilities. I don't like the price on Kamari. I went with Lady Rocket to go wire to wire.
Yeah, I took Lady Rocket, and I actually took her because I think she could sit just in behind Chitara, who might actually be a little bit faster, but maybe she gets out in front of Chitara, as long as she's not going head-and-head with Chitara. I agree with one thing. If Kamari runs anywhere close to the way she ran last time out, they're all running for second. There isn't any money in this race who's ever run even close to as fast speed figure fives as Kamari did last time out. I just don't trust her to run that again. So the question is, will she regress a little or will she regress a lot? Regressing a little probably still wins. Regressing a lot brings Lady Rocket and the others into it. I, like you, am going to try to beat the favorite with number one, Lady Rocket, who is 2-1 on the morning line. Let's jump over to Remington Park. They've got some great stakes action as well on Sunday. Five stakes on their card Sunday. Two of them are graded, including the Grade 3 Remington Park Oaks for the three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the main track. $200,000 the purse here. We've got a field of eight, Dave, and probably the shortest price that we're going to talk about this weekend in number six, or rather number five, Juju's Map.
Yeah, I think the morning line maker nailed it here. Let's not pretend that Juju's Map is going to be 6-5. 1-2 is probably about right. At 1-2, I am not betting on Juju's Map. I probably am also not betting against Juju's Map. I'm extremely interested to see how Juju's Map runs, though. This is a horse that was absolutely terrific at the age of 2, went off at 3-1 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and finished second to Echo Zulu and was well clear of everybody else. This year has not gone great. We saw a win against Lesser at Churchill Downs in May, and then back-to-back third-place performances in graded stakes races at Belmont and at Monmouth. I think this is the right spot. I think this is a field that Juju's Map should beat. If you gave me even money, I would bet on Juju's Map at 1-2. I'm not particularly interested. Number three, Free Like a Girl, is a difficult one for me to gauge. Eight wins, Gotta love that. Most of them are against Louisiana bred competition. Last two were good, but those are sprint races. Moving back to a longer race here, a little bit hard to tell. Number six, Bianica, get a huge price for Steve Asmussen. Could go wire to wire, but let's be honest, the horse is going to have to run a lot faster than we've ever seen before. Same story for Hits Pricey Legacy, number four. You get 6-1 coming off a win. That was the best race of the horse's career. She needs to run faster to win. I think Juju's Map will win, and I'll be watching. I'll be interested. I'm probably not going to be betting.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And the blinkers come off Juju's Map. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get her to settle down, maybe just off the pace of number four, Hits Pricey Legacy, and make that run. She showed early in her career that she's pretty good with a target. She's been going to the lead and stopping against better as of late. We'll see if she goes more to the tracking kind of a style instead of the front-running style in the Remington Park Oaks. Juju's Map should be a tough customer on Sunday. 11th race on the Sunday card at Remington's the Grade 3 $400,000 Oklahoma Derby. Three-year-olds going a mile and an eighth on the main track. Field of eight here, Dave. Three of them really in good form. Number one, Steel Sunshine. Number four, Best Actor. And number five, Rattle and Roll.
Yeah, I thought maybe this was an opportunity to find a price. And then the horses that I kind of liked weren't nearly the prices I was hoping for. Number four, Best Actor. On July 9th, ran at Horseshoe Indy in the Indiana Derby. And in that race, faced number five, Rattle and Roll, and also faced number seven, King Ottoman. And those horses ran. Best Actor was second, missed by half a length, going off at about 3-1. Rattle and Roll just had a nightmarish day, was the favorite, and was a total non-factor. And King Ottoman ran third at about 5-1. I think all three of them have opportunities here, and I don't really prefer one abundantly over any of the others. I actually thought there were a couple of other horses in here that made some sense too, including the one you mentioned, Steel Sunshine on the rail coming out of the Ellis Park Derby. I understand why Best Actor is the favorite. Four races, all four have been good. They're at four different tracks with three different track conditions. Brad Cox has won this race 3 years in a row. He is reasonable, makes a ton of sense. I just don't think he's separated from the others by that much. I'm going to give Rattle a Roll the benefit of the doubt. The Indiana Derby didn't go well, came back and beat horses in the St. Louis Derby rather easily. I don't know that that was such a good field, but the Fig came back really good. If you cross off the race at Horseshoe Indy, I think you're looking at a horse that should be, if not the favorite, very close to it. I think there's some value on Rattle and Roll.
Okay, Rattle and Roll for Dave. I went to the favorite, number four, Best Actor. I just think he's improving every start, and I like the fact that he can be up close to the pace or a few lengths out of it. Gives Florent Giroux a little bit of a decision to make, or options, I should say, depending on what others do in those first few yards out of the gate. So Best Actor for me, Rattle and Roll for Dave, in Sunday's Grade 3 Oklahoma Derby. All 12 races are in the books. Dave, time now for the Naira Betts Best Bet.
This is the Naira Betts Best Bet.
All right, Dave, where are you headed?
It's race 11 at Parks, the Cotillion. I just think Dwayne Lucas has found the perfect spot for Secret Oath, as in not facing Boys and not facing Nest. The 2-1 morning line is a bargain. You suggested maybe we could get 8-5. I think that's a bargain, too. I am interested to see what Adair Manor does. Shahama is a nice horse. I think Secret Oath's resume towers over this field, and I expect her to win.
All right, so Secret Oath for Dave in the Grade 1 Cotillion. I'm going to go north of the border to the Grade 3 Vigil on Sunday at Woodbine, and I think there's so much reason to think that AV's Flatter can be better Sunday than he was last time out in the Grade 3 Bold Venture. He just did not get out of the gate very well. He was much further back than he wanted to be, and he was very wide, as Dave alluded to, coming off the turn, and still only got beat a half a length that day by a few of the other horses that he's going to be running against once again on Sunday. Better start, better position for AV's Flatter, and I think he gets the job done 7-2 on the morning line. Want to remind everybody, tomorrow's another bang-up edition of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, joined by trainer Safi Joseph Jr. as he looks ahead to his runners in Saturday's Pennsylvania Derby, Gallant Bob, and Greenwood Cup. Tom Law from ThisIsHorseRacing.com shares his thoughts on the Cotillion and Pennsylvania Derby. Owner Mike Mackin of Lucky Seven Stable looks back on Fun and Feisty's win in the Pocahontas, talks about Rattle and Roll in Sunday's Oklahoma Derby. Owner Debbie Ferguson joins the show with the feel-good story of her 12-year-old gelding success rate, plus Vance Hansen has the triple play. Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin discuss the week's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business. And Kurt Becker takes you on his weekly stroll through racing history, presented by Keeneland, all part of another fantastic edition of the Equine Forum tomorrow morning, 8 to 11 Eastern Time, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Dave, we're right in the middle of Breeders' Cup preview season. We've had some great races coming up this weekend, especially those monster cards at both parks and at Remington Park. When we come back next weekend, we're going to have more great races from around the country, great races from Aqueduct, great races from Churchill, and that monster opening weekend at Santa Anita, my friend. We are right in the thick of the action.
Yeah, it's an exciting time of year, and it's always important to take a real close look at horses' final race before they go to the Breeders' Cup so that you can be honed in and ready to go come that big weekend coming up at Keeneland.
For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Dave Friedman, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great weekend at the races, everybody.